Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm going to be your host. So, first off, I want to thank everybody who's been listening to us on Anchor and Spotify. Just want to let everybody know that as of this past week, we are now on iTunes, so the Apple Store podcast. You can check us out there. Please, whichever platform you're listening to us on, whether it's Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Breaker, Google Podcast. I think there's one more, can't remember it. Please give us a like, subscribe to us, leave us a review, just so it'll help grow the podcast to where we can start reaching more detailers and have more detailers find us. We'd really appreciate that. All right, on to the episode. So this week, we have somebody that I've never talked to before. Does phenomenal work. I'm interested in learning a little bit more about him. I don't really know how else to hype it up because I don't know anything. So please, let's welcome Mr. Jason Joseph. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, man. It's nice to
Good.
meet you.
Nice to
Talk to
meet
you
you. Yeah, you
finally.
too. Yeah.
Well, thank you for first off for jumping in. So I'm gonna ask you the same question I ask everybody else.
Okay.
Give us your history, man. How you started, where you started, all the fun stuff.
Let's see, 2010. I kind of got bored working my 9 to 5 at Costco. And decided to looking back into going into school. Was just trying to figure out what I really wanted to do. Always really enjoyed detailing and doing body work and paint work and stuff like that. So I figured it was only best to kind of go back into school for that, and went to Lincoln Tech out in Chicago, and got a auto body and automotive refinish degree
Nice.
in that. Yep. So learned a lot in that. That was like a 16-month schooling. Learned everything from how to weld, paint, body work, airbrushing, wet sanding, buffing, everything.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of just fueled the fire right there. And I graduated and got into a really, really high-end body shop in Addison, Illinois, and kind of just got brought up there in 2011 and worked there until about 2015, doing everything from, prepping and, like I said, block sanding a lot of, repaints and
Right.
buffing. And then 2015, I made a little move and came back home here to South Bend, Indiana, and kind of slow moving at first, trying to find the right spot for me. Around here, there's not a whole lot of quality shops. It's the $50,
Right.
washes, quick in and outs, stuff like that. Nothing really what I offer.
Right.
Not my type of quality stuff. So finally, I got into a body shop over here in Osceola, and started working in there, and eventually, kind of just took over the whole detailing part of it, took over all the customer cars and the body shop stuff. And the owner of the company moved me into my own little shop, which is the shop you see me in now.
Oh, okay, cool.
It was brand new built 3 years ago, and I've been in there ever since. So just kind of growing and getting my name out there slowly but surely.
Nice. Now, because that's one thing when I was kind of, looking through your stuff just to try and like hopefully spark some questions. You do have a huge shop, it looks like. Now, is that
Yeah.
something that like it's yours solely, or are you like partnered up with that guy who put you in there?
No. So, I work for Colin Crowell. He owns Car Guys Detailing, and
Oh, okay.
I was working for the guy that owns that building, and he just kind of lost interest in the whole deal. And me and Colin started talking, and we just kind of decided that it would be best for him to take over the shop and let him run the reins instead of having the other guy do it. Right. And so, we just rent the building from the owner, and me and him just work together, and we, just do work together.
Oh, nice. So is it just you and him, or do you guys have like employees that work?
We just brought on a kid 3 weeks ago. It'll be the start of his fourth week, and he's pretty green, but he's coming along very well. Again, a kid that's brought up in a body shop, so he's got some knowledge there. So,
right.
But when he steps into our world, it's completely different from what he is, rotary with wool pads and,
right.
Get it in and out and no big deal. So, now he's into an actual detail shop setting where we actually care about what we're doing and our processes and stuff like that. He's definitely taking it all in and realizing that, it's a whole different world compared to being in a body shop. So.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the similar processes, and some people might rip me for that, but I mean, it's, as long as you can rotary, you can, jump into the DA is pretty easily
right.
enough.
Exactly.
Because that was my big thing. I mean, when I was, with the car washes and everything, I mean, we rotaried everything, and everybody's like, paint correction. I'm like, yeah, man, buff and wax. Yeah. Heck yeah. I could do that. Like, I'll make your car look sweet, yeah. And then realizing that there is a difference. I mean, you can, there are some guys who can rotary down a car and probably do just as fine, if not a better job than with a DA. I mean, it is a skill. It can be done.
Right.
But the DA definitely takes a lot of the scare out of it,
Right. Yeah. I think the difference is in a body shop setting, there's less care, and in a detail right. shop, So obviously in a detail shop, a rotary is a different tool than what it is in a body shop, I believe, yeah. In a body shop, it's a speed thing. Get it in and out. There's no lights. There's no care. There's, just, like I said, get it in, get it out, right. In a detail shop, if we're using rotaries, it's cause we know how to use them, and we care about what we're using them for. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're definitely hitting on some really hard stuff if you're breaking out the old rotary. That's the one thing that I really like is, as much as this industry changes, every few months, there's a lot that you can do with a DA and the right pad and the right compound that sometimes there's no need to bust out the rotary and risk, doing more damage than good, so to speak. It's definitely a difference going from one to the other. And one thing that
it's funny because he comes in and he says that his boss didn't get Roops because he said that they don't cut good enough. And I just laugh and I'm like, they don't cut good enough. What is he talking about? Like,
right.
They're extremely good cutters if you know how to use them and you have the right pads and combo, product combo. So there's just a lot of, lack of knowledge in that part right. of the industry about what the tools can really, really, really do for them,
Yeah. So. And a lot of it, I think, is kind of the old school guys, I mean, I'm definitely old school guy. I mean, I learned how to rotary back in 95 and, and that's pretty much all I knew. But I had an open mind when I sat down with Todd with Rupes and Todd did a lot of training, showed me how to use the machine, stuff like that. But then trying to, inject that into the car wash detail or, the detail shop with guys who were just like me, but you know, they were just so set in their ways and like, can't be done, can't be done, can't, you know. And then I'm like, okay, well, you do half a car, I'm gonna do half a car, you know. And then I'm sitting in the office for hours because my half of the car is done and mint,
right,
you know, and they're still out there cutting away. So I did turn a bunch of them over to that once, you know, once you could show them how to do it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's that mentality, the old school guys just don't believe in it,
especially kind of with thing. The wet sanding, like they think it's completely useless, right, when it comes to, you know, getting any wet sanding marks out or DA marks. And I just find it comical because I do it every day, you know?
Right. Exactly. So, so are you guys like a high volume shop or, you know, do you guys just kind of take them?
Yeah,
as they
we take them as we come. Usually, you know, we're pretty high volume, you know, we do, you know, I would say, you know, I do about 3 paint corrections a week. And the kid is doing about 2 full details himself a day. So, you know, about 13 cars. And that doesn't include what Colin does mobile all day long. So, yeah. So it's 2 different things.
Yeah. So you guys are still cranking out some pretty good numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
And are you guys just doing detailing or do you guys do any other services, PPF or tent or?
Yeah, we have a tinner that's in the same building as us. We split the shop in half, and the other side of the shop is window tinting, paint protection film, audio visual, you know, so, you know, anything else that we can't do on our side, we just bring it over to Brad over at Auto Obsessions and he takes care of the rest for us. Yep.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
Backup That's camera, cool, remote starts. I mean, this guy nerds out. I mean, he'll take ZR1 Corvette apart for us just to get, you know, door panels off. I mean, the K40 radar detectors. I mean, he goes all out. I mean, it's crazy. I'm like, I'm not taking these cars apart like that, man. I mean, like I'll take out some taillights or something, like, you know, some grills or nothing, but I'm not taking door panels and Alcantara apart and, you know, try to get into these, you know, dashboards and stuff. This guy's crazy.
I would imagine you kind of have to, though. I mean, when you're doing stereo stuff and those radar detectors and stuff like that, because you have that stuff all has to be, you know, hidden and everything. But yeah, I'm like you. I mean, just getting in, you know, just starting in the PPF, and dude, there's I look at it like there's no way I'm taking anything apart. I mean, I see some of these guys who you know, will rip a whole car apart, you know, just to wrap some PPF, and I'm like, man, I mean, I say it now, but who knows, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, I might open stuff apart. But right now, you know, I mean, I guess for the right amount of money, you know, you start pulling stuff apart if you can. So, man, and, you know, so again, you're kind of like Michael McCarthy. You know, I know nothing about you, man, but your work is just like blowing me away. So like, I just had to, you know, kind of pull questions from kind of near and far. So we're going to kind of talk a little bit of kind of about everything. Do you have any, like a memorable moment in, like detailing that stands out, whether it's like a training class or SEMA or MTE or being on a podcast, you know, something like that.
You know,
you have something that like, you know, just really is like, holy cow, like, you know, and maybe wouldn't have happened if, you know, you weren't, you know, if you were still working your 9-to-5 Costco job, you would not have had that, you know, fun time or that cool time. Or
I would say
whatever.
Just earlier this year at The Verge, man, meeting Noxie, Michael, everybody, you know, I mean, it was, it's just crazy. It's so cool to see these guys in person and, you know, watch these guys all work, you know, I mean, it's a lot different than watching these guys on YouTube, you know, or Facebook or whatever wherever they post their videos, you know, I mean, watching these guys actually work with your eyes, you know, I mean, it's cool, man. It's sweet, you know, and everybody's so nice, you know, and that, you know, And that's why I'm glad to be part of the C-Corps family, man. You know, just nobody has, you know, any bad vibes. Everybody's real family-like. It's just, it's a good part of the, you know, a good part of the market to be part of. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Corey, I think does a really good job with, you know,
getting the right people.
Yeah. I mean, and he's such a good guy that it almost kind of like rubs off.
Exactly.
You know, it's hard to be a, you know, a dickhead around Corey.
Yeah, because he's so nice. Like when I first met him, I'm expecting a handshake. Nope, no handshake, hugs, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, just, yeah. Totally nice guy. Totally nice guy.
Yeah, well, you know, thanks for stopping by my shop while you're here because, you know, I'm only half a mile.
Man, there were so many people. I was like, I'm like looking at the map. I was like, dude, we are so close to so many people, man. It was like, it was just hard. We were only there for, you know, 3 days. And
yeah,
Sunday,
it was
drove
hard
all the way back.
I was trying to get Knox to stop by the shop just because. And he was, I mean, like his hotel was like, I don't know. His hotel was walking distance.
And that
from
I stayed
shop.
In the same hotel. So if
yeah. I, oh, did you? Yeah.
Killer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that sucks, man. Yeah. If I would have known, I definitely would have stopped by.
No, it's all good. I'm just busting the balls for it. But yeah, it was, you know, it was really cool to like know that there was all these detailers here, but like everybody was so busy, like couldn't
yeah.
do anything, you know, really.
Corey keeps
everybody
on a tight schedule.
yeah, exactly. I mean, I was very fortunate enough to, I pulled my KXK rack off the wall and Knox is like, dude, just come over here. Cause I was trying to get him and, Andy and Jason uh-huh. to sign it. He's like, dude, just come over here. We're too busy. So I drove over there and just texted him when I was in the parking lot and they all came out and signed it, which was pretty cool. I mean, I've, you know, had the interaction with Noxie for a while now. Andy's here in Orlando
yep.
too. So I've got the chance to hang out with him a couple times. Kilmer was the only one that I never really, got a chance to meet yet. So that was cool, you know, to meet him. So I at least got to, I guess, take part in Verge.
Somewhere. Right.
by crashing out in the parking lot to get some
hey.
Autographs.
Hey. It's all welcome there, man.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So you've got like a cool little collection of Nissan Matchbox cars. I always see you kind of post.
I got a bunch.
Everything. where did that like come from? How did that come about?
A couple years ago, man, I started to really get the itch. I wanted another 300 ZX. I had one back in 2010, and I sold it so I could go back to school. And regretted it ever since, and just haven't had the, you know, the time and the money to, you know, with starting family and trying to buy a house and everything to buy one. And finally, earlier this year, I bought one and I just, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, well, I can't buy one. Let's just buy little, you know, Hot Wheels and Matchbox and get all
right.
those. And it just kept me busy, I guess. And, it's really addicting going out to different stores and hunting and looking for the cars that you're looking for. And, you know, I got kind of crazy. I had like 400 cars on my kids' walls and on my other wall and my other
Holy
kids'
cow.
Room. So it got to a point where I was like, all right, I need to slow down. So I've slowed down quite a bit and I'm right now I'm only looking, you know, I am only collecting Porsches and Nissans right now. So no. Yeah.
Oh,
so
sweet.
That's I've definitely slowed down on that.
So with your 300Z, because it's a pretty nice car. I mean, you post, you know, some stuff every
yeah.
now and then of it. Looks
yeah.
pretty sharp. So what's your favorite Datsun or Nissan car
or
is it just the 300Z that you
like? The 300Z
that,
is
you know,
what I like for me. You know, overall, the 280Z is really my favorite, but I love the 300ZX so much that I had to get one of those first. The 280Z is a little bit out of my range right now. Those, they're starting to skyrocket like crazy. And yeah, oh, trying to find a decent one that's not rusted out is pretty hard to find.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with all the Japanese like guys that are turning those around and just, you know, making them pretty sick.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, shoot, what's his name? Han from the Fast and the Furious. Didn't he just do one and made some crazy wide body kit one or whatever? It was at SEMA a year or two.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago. But yeah, that, I mean, something like that, you know, is just, I love it. I love it. It's just, that's a little obtainable right now with the prices on those. So I went with the 300Z for now, and I got plenty of plans for that, you know, down the road. So
right now, is yours twin turbo or
no? I bought an NA, but I did that on purpose because I wanted the higher compression engine for the NA, and then I'm gonna slap the twin turbo setup on the higher compression motor, and make some more horsepower for cheaper without the twin turbo tax.
right yeah,
because those two are starting to skyrocket too, so
yeah I think you know, the Supra coming back out again, I think is starting to make some of those you know, late 80s early 90s kind of Japanese supercars you know, coming back, you know, into the deal. I mean, I see, you know, what Mitsubishi's supposedly, they've got 3,000 renderings or whatever. Yeah, coming out with the 3000 GT. I think they're going to call it the 4000 GT or something like that. Now,
and then you got the new Nissan, what is it, the 400ZX coming out?
Yeah. So they're trying to, you know, which is cool, you know, if they just keep them in a price range that everybody can afford.
I
mean, I just see some of those cars being, you know, Nissan GTR ish, you know, over the $100,000 mark, and it might be hard to you know, grab for the people who really are the ones that are into them, kind of deal. What are some of your favorite cars that you've ever worked on?
Porsche 918. Yeah, oh, that nice. that was awesome. Let's see here. Obviously, I love all the old, you know, the Chevelles, the, you know, the old Camaros, all that old stuff I love. Did a RX-7 last year, you know, wet sand and polish on that. That was awesome. You know, and the Ferraris are always cool, the 488s and, you know, stuff like that, you know. But you know, I have no favorites. You know, they all to me, you know, anybody that, you know, is willing to let me work on their car, they're all my favorites.
right. Yeah. That's man, I think I can't remember if that's what I said when I was talking with Billy or the Bakers. You know, I mean, to me, it's listen, if somebody's willing to pay me the money that I'm asking for, I don't care what kind of car
exactly.
It is. I mean, as long as I'm making money to put on the you know, bring home, put food on the table. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'll still, you know, fan out if it's an exotic. I mean, I've always kind of, you know, going back to being a kid in the 80s, you know, the Cannonball Run and Ferraris and Lamborghinis and everything. You know, but at the same time, like now I'm a business owner. Like, it's just, as long as there's a car in the shop for me to work on, I don't care what it is.
Like, I agree.
I kind of have to start thinking that way versus like, man, how come I'm not doing a Ferrari today? You know,
less stressful anyways. We're not having to work on that all the time.
Yeah. Those owners can be, a little finicky. I mean, I've had one owner who, you know, did not want his car out of the site, you know, and I had to actually go to his house and work on it, which kind of sucked, but it was, thankfully it was brand new. He'd only had it for, I think, a week or so. So, I mean, it was kind of easy to do. And he's kind of a buddy. So, you know, I didn't mind doing that. And then like on the flip side, I had one guy drop off his brand new Portofino with, you know, I think I had, I don't know, 50 miles on it or something like that. And he was just like, listen, man, I'm going to Chicago for a week. So it's yours, you know?
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I was done looking at it by day three. I mean, once it was done, I was tired. I was tired of looking at it. I was like, God, I still got two more days of this thing, like in the shop.
I get like that too.
Get rid of it. Yeah. You know, and that's kind of how I am with, you know, I'd much rather, you know, kind of be doing correction and coding jobs that are going to take a couple of days, but then by the time 2 or 3 days is up, I'm done with it. Like, I don't want to look at it anymore. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm ready to go back and do some, you know, some quick little
right.
deals.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So what do you listen to while you're detailing? This is a question I've never really asked anybody before. Do you listen to music, you podcast,
oh, yeah.
listen
a lot
to books?
Of, a lot of music. Every once in a while, a little comedy or something, but mostly metal. You know, until I drive everybody in the shop crazy, and then you right. know, just little rap, little R&B. You know, a lot of older stuff. You know, I like the older rap. Nothing right. too new. But
yeah, it's new stuff's garbage.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So I honestly, I listen a little bit of everything when I'm in the shop. Just depends on what I'm working on, what mood I'm in, and you know,
right.
just yeah, how I'm feeling.
No. I get it. I'm the same way.
Everything
myself.
But country, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I can do some. If it's kind of like rock country, I can get behind it. So when you're not detailing, what do you enjoy doing?
Spending time with my kids is a big thing, you know.
Right.
You know, working on my car, just enjoying life. You know, I like to take my kids. You know, last week we went out to the aquarium in Chicago. You know, go to the zoos. We, you know, we spend a lot of the summer just doing family things. You know, if I'm not working, I'm with
right.
my family.
That's good. Do you have like a good work and family balance? Because like I know that's one of the things.
Yeah,
that,
definitely.
You know, I try. I do for sure. You know, I mean, if I put in 40 hours in the shop, like that's like working massive overtime. You know, and I talk to a lot of these guys and a lot of them are younger and don't have families and everything yet. And they're just like, you know, grind,
yeah.
grind, 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 man. I'm in the shop till
yeah.
3 o'clock
yeah.
in the morning, go home and sleep for a little. And I'm like, dude, how do you like, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, look, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, I'm done for the
right.
day.
You know, and it's funny you say that because, you know, before, you know, a couple years ago, yeah, that's all I cared about, making money. I need to be working as much as I can, overtime, I don't care. And you know, once
right.
I went to the Verge, they, you know, one of the things they, you know, they kept bringing up is that work-life balance. You know, it kind of really stuck with me, and I'm like, you know what, I don't need to be working 50 60 hours a week killing myself. You know, I don't need to do that. I'm, you know, I'm not in that position where I need to do that no more. So, yeah, no, I work 40, 45 hours a week, and I go home. I'm off at 4:30, 5 o'clock. If I need to stay a little later
nice.
To wait for a customer or wait for Colin to get back or something like that, I do that. But I'm out of the shop at normal hours. There's no staying till 10,
yeah.
1 o'clock. No, nothing like that. I'm nope.
yeah and I mean there's few days that I stay somewhat late if I need to or later if I need to, but for the most part I don't, you know, I'm out and I book it that way. I mean I'm you know, just like you said, it's, You know, I'm not trying to make $1 million, you know, out of my
Right.
shop. You know, I just want to live, I want to live comfortably to enough to where I can actually be around and enjoy my family. Haley with her competitive cheer stuff. I mean, that's a big part. I mean, we spend a lot of time at the gym. So for me to be able to cut out early, to be able to take her so that we can do that and, you know, be able to have weekends off when we do competitions and stuff, that's a big thing. So that's cool that you do that, man, because that's the one thing that I don't really get from a lot of these guys, when I talk to them, is that they just seems like they don't have a life other than in the shop, which is
Right.
crazy. I just don't, I don't get that. Again, man, I didn't really have a whole lot of questions. So the last one that I've kind of got, and then maybe I'll kind of come up with one or two more. So you're nominated for the up and coming Pain Assassin of the Year.
Thanks,
Congratulations.
man. Thanks. I'm pretty rad, dude. I'm pretty happy
Yeah.
about it.
Got anything to say about that? And
Dude,
just remember, Bruno's listening, so
yeah, just dude, I was totally not expecting that. Like, I was kind of blown away because I mean, you know, I haven't been part of the page that long, and you know, I'm not really, I mean, I try to be active as much as possible, but you know, when I'm at the
right.
shop, I'm there working, and you know, I try to take a lot of pictures and try to do the 50-50 thing, but you know, a lot of times I'm grinding. You know, I want to get my job done, and
Right.
like I said, again, I want to go home. I want to be with my family.
Right.
You know, so, but you know, I'm just, you know, obviously I'm doing something right. And I mean, I'm really, really just like I said, I was speechless and shocked. I couldn't believe it. You know, there's so many freaking
Yeah.
ballers on that page, man. I mean,
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
know.
you know, just Paint Correction of the Month just came up, and I'm like looking through these. I'm like, it's impossible to pick one. There's just so
Right.
many good ones. Like,
It is. You just almost have to kind of like every single one of them, and it just hope that the hope that somebody else just didn't like one, so you don't feel bad for not liking
right,
kind of deal.
exactly.
I mean, that's how I am. I mean, I tell Jason all the time, like, you know, God, I want to win a Paint Correction of the Month
Right.
just to do it. But, you know, knowing, especially this year, knowing that whoever wins Paint Correction of the Month, you're automatically into, you know, those 12 people are going to be the people selected for Paint Correction of the Year, you know? And then I'm like, okay, like I see
Right.
some of these guys who are winning Paint Correction of the Month, and I know what they're going to put
Right.
out for Paint Correction of the Year. And I'm like, I don't even know if I want to be a part of that, you know, because just because you hit it 1 month and, you know, you got some of these guys that are just going to crush it for the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I don't really get cars that are that drastic differences. I mean, everything I'm getting is just kind of like car wash swirls type stuff,
Right.
you know. I mean, nothing that some of these guys are doing, you know, like Noxy. I know Noxy never really joins in these, but holy crap, man, that one he submitted last month, I mean,
The
where
orange
he
peel?
took all the texture, yeah, where he took all the texture out,
Yeah.
like Jesus, man. I still don't know how that one didn't win. I mean, congratulations to Gray. He definitely deserved it with his, but I still don't know how. I mean, Paint Assassins has like 800 and something
Yeah.
members now. I don't know how Noxie's picture wasn't like 800 and something times. I just
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
don't I don't I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and it's not just because it was Noxie. I mean, if anybody were to do a texture change like that, you know, I can't understand how it doesn't win something like
Right.
that. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, man, you've got some stiff competition over there. I mean, I'm even I've got some heavy hitters
Yeah,
that I'm up against. So I was, you know,
yeah,
and
you do.
Jason told me, he's like, hey, you know, good news is you've been nominated. And I was like, sweet. And he goes, here's the bad news, and told me everybody I was up
Yeah.
against. I was like, On why? Like, I don't even get my hopes up, man.
Yeah.
But no, I know there's a lot more to it than just being a good detailer. I mean, this isn't for everybody listening, please. I hope you guys really read what Jason puts out there. And it's more than just who is a great detailer. It goes a lot into how they carry themselves, and I think everybody there in all three categories carries themselves phenomenally and does hold their the Paint Assassins brand to a high standard. But hey, go vote for me and Jason Joseph.
Yeah,
if you're listening to this. let's see. So we're like 35 minutes. So we're about 10 minutes short of what I'm used to kind of doing. Oh, let's see if I can think of anything else, man. I'm sorry, people. You're going to have to listen to some kind of just rambling here for a few minutes. Man, I'm trying to think of something. You got anything to say?
Man.
Let me think of something real fast.
Just like I said, I'm just blessed to be where I'm at, and I'm real happy that I even got considered, you know. So thanks to everybody out there.
How did you how did you come about joining Paint Assassins? That's a good question. I know a lot of people who probably listen to this aren't in the Paint Assassin group. I know majority of the people that I've interviewed so far, if you're listening and you're not familiar with the Paint Assassins group, are part of the Paint Assassins Facebook group. So how did you get into that? Because it to me, and you can let me know how you feel about it. To me, I feel like it is one of the probably best detailer Facebook groups out there, with no bullshit, no real hatred or shit talking amongst each other. Everybody is pretty laid back and appreciative of everybody. So I just think that, like, it's kind of a blessing to be a part of.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's probably the best. It is probably the best page for especially what we do. When it comes to, being paint correction experts and stuff like that, that page is by far the best. Like you said, no beef, no one fights. There's no bickering. And you go on a lot of these other pages, there's always fighting and bickering and, brand bashing, the only page I ever post on now is, Paint Assassins. I don't even bother with anybody else's page no more. Too much drama.
And did you stumble across somebody invite you?
It was either Christian Soto or Michael that I saw them post something about it. And I was like, oh, looks like I need to be part of this page. And then I joined and just kind of been, like I said, dropping a post here and there and trying to be as active as I can, and try to help when I can, and stuff like that. I don't hide secrets.
Then you got dickheads like me that just trash everything you post.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the trolling. It gets me going every day. Like, I love it.
I do too. I mean, as long as everybody knows it's all done in good fun, because, Aaron Knox is my worst troll. He just trashes everything that I do, but he gives me that little heart, to make me know, like, hey, you did good, but hey, here, I'm going to trash you real quick. He has given me a lot of good ones. Everybody's really good with, building each other up. Who are some people that you look up to in the detailing world, or do you have mentors, or, people that you ring up when you've got issues or things like that?
There's obviously Aaron Knox, he's been a big one. David Fermeni up at Forza, up here in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Another one that just you know, I've been following over the last few years. Guys insane, you know, taking rims and tires off and pulling pebbles out of the, you know, the tread of the tires, and, you know, just oh, wow. It's just crazy, you know, a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You know, and just the usuals, you know, everybody that you know, we've talked about that, we, you know, just right. Everybody that you can learn from, and, you know, just watch and know that, you know, they love what they do, and, you know, so that, yeah, all of them, you know, everybody, Jason right. Rose, no, you know, awesome. Dylan Von Kleist, all of them, you know, I follow all of them, and all of them are an inspiration, you know, they're all a big part of what we do. So.
Right. Now, something that kind of just came to me, cause I think you're probably the first person I've talked to that's a Northerner.
Yeah.
how, for somebody like me who's down here in blazing hot Florida right. all year round, how is it in the winter times? Like, how do you guys deal? I mean, is there a drop off?
Yeah, it gets rough, but again, you know, we got some really good customers that are returning customers. We got people with collections that help us, you know, if we need to, you know, right. take a car on, like they're more than welcome to give us a car so that, you know, we got a couple days of work at least, you know. You know, gotcha. we find a way. We definitely.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause I mean, it does for like me down here, it does kind of teeter a little yeah. bit, you know, at, like this time now, like kids go back to school. It usually slows down for a week or two, right. While everybody's readjusting, you know, and then we start kind of picking back up, but we always have that drop off like end of the year here, and it's, you know, just like you said, I mean, you know, we do have clients that keep us busy, but at the same time, like, it's always still hot as
yeah
heck yeah. here yeah. So like people are still cool with getting their cars done all the right. time, versus, you know, you guys sitting in, you know, feet of snow.
We give sales, gift cards, just, you know, we take advantage of Christmas, and, you know, we just right. we hustle, you know. Google obviously is a big thing that helps, you know. There's always people yeah. looking to get the salt off their interior, you know, and with us just having a great reputation around where we're at, and, you know, five right. stars on Google and on Facebook, I mean, you know, we're blessed to always get a call. Usually, you know, last winter we didn't have any issues. We stayed oh, nice. Pretty busy all year round. You know, February, I think we had 7 cars, but they were all full paint correction and coatings. So, you know, it kept me busy, you know, through almost the whole month, you know, I mean, and up here we were, I think we had 2 feet of snow, 3 feet of snow all winter long. So it was pretty mild.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So we were, again, blessed with some really good weather for our area. Usually we got snow all winter long, at least, you know, a foot on the ground. And this right. last winter, we just didn't have it. I mean, just did not have anything. So we get a little,
it's global
yeah,
warming.
Yeah. We get a little flurry here and there. And I mean, and that would be it. We get a little storm, it dump 6 inches, and it would be gone in a week. You know, we had no snow for Christmas, oh, wow. no snow for New Year's. Yeah, so it's been crazy because we always have snow in December, but last year we just didn't have it. So, I mean, like, it helped us out, so.
Oh, wow. So you said you're in Indiana?
Yeah, South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend,
Indiana. Notre Dame.
I was going to say, do I need to ask who your college football
is? It's definitely not Notre Dame.
Oh, okay. Well, sweet. Awesome.
It's Michigan. But
you might want to jump on the Notre Dame bandwagon.
Yeah. Well, seeing as in how Big Ten might not play football this year, I might have to just watch some Notre Dame this year, seeing as how they are gonna play.
Yeah, because they're wrapped kind of into the ACC, so I think they're I think they've got some ACC teams they might play, because they might play Miami again.
Out of all the sports right now, you know, that's the one that I'm really hoping I want to see play. Like, I don't care about anything. I want to see some college football, though.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting with, you know, with the fact that two out of the five, you know, Power Five conferences aren't playing.
Exactly.
How that's, you know, I mean, how do you do championships? You know, how do you do the bowl games?
I was wondering the same thing. So it'll be very interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, all right, man. We hit the 44-minute mark, so we stretched it out. We stretched it out a little bit. I appreciate you being on this, man. Like I said, you definitely are, you know, somebody that I've kind of taken notice of recently. I think your work is phenomenal.
I appreciate that.
I think everything that you've kind of posted up has been just amazing. You know, so you were definitely somebody who was definitely, you know, in my second five. As everybody knows, I'm kind of trying to take this podcast five at a time, just to see where it goes. So I appreciate you stepping up a whole week earlier than we kind of have planned.
Yep, no problem.
Due to some scheduling. We won't blame it on Aaron Knox. Who knows? Maybe it was because Aaron Knox was supposed to be on this episode. We don't know. I mean, I think everybody's kind of catching on. So, I don't know how much longer I'll be able to play that gag out. But I appreciate it, man. And, you know, just like I ask everybody else, somebody wants to reach out to you or follow you or anything like that, man, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, OnlyFans, what you got?
Facebook, you know, just my name. If you want to follow my work, again, you can do my follow me under my page or Car Guys Auto Detailing. You know, we post a lot. We're pretty busy on social media on there. Instagram is Jason3786, and I don't have anything else. So
there you go. Keep
yes,
it
sir.
Simple.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. Man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, man. Definitely look forward to seeing more of your stuff. I'm going to go ahead and try to edit this thing a little bit pretty quickly, because it's pushing 6 o'clock, and I know there's some people out there that listen to it on Sunday night, so I want to get it dropped for them.
Awesome.
So, yeah, man, you have a great night. I look forward to speaking with you
soon,
man. All
right, awesome. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. All right,
no problem.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye. Okay, everybody. So that was Jason Joseph with Car Guys up in South Bend, Indiana. Again, he does some absolutely phenomenal work, just blows me away, and I really wanted to talk to him. And I'm sorry that you guys had to listen to a little bit of stalling in there. I'm not going to edit it out, because I kind of like how the realness of a conversation goes with this whole podcast thing. I really thought I had enough questions to kind of fill 45 minutes, but he kind of answered them quicker than everybody else. So thank you for listening. Again, please, whatever platform you're listening on, subscribe, like, give us some feedback. And if you guys are on Anchor, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but you guys can leave us some feedback. There's a message button that you should be able to click if you want to leave us some feedback. If you want to tell us who we should talk to next, if you want to give us some questions of things that we should ask people, just let us know. We are still trying to figure this out, get it off the ground, get it going. And again, I appreciate everybody who listens and takes the time, and I hope we stay interesting. Thank you. Have a good night.